I know the layout of the service is a little different tonight.
It's over.
But I wanted to have some prayer just to prepare the ground a little bit. And I'm not going to keep you very long. I just have a word from the Lord. I want to share that word from the Lord with you. And then after that, we're going to have another time of prayer and consecration. And just see what the Holy Ghost wants to do with us. But the Holy Ghost spoke to me towards the end of last year, which was only a couple of weeks ago. And he dropped a word in my heart, and it simply, he just asked me, it was in the middle of a service, it was a Sunday night. And he said, will you be ready to run when it's time to run? And in my mind, I just saw, I saw a guy sitting on like a couch, leaning over, lacing up his running shoes, and a pair of French doors in front of him. And it was just like God was saying, I know right now you're sitting in this, in a room, you're sitting on a couch, you feel like you're all prepped and you're ready to go and there's nothing happening, but there's going to come a moment when I open the doors. And when I open the doors, it's going to be time for you to run. And the question to me, Ramel, was will you be ready to run when it's time to run? Anybody remember what the pastor preached Sunday night? Is anybody here Sunday night? Does anybody have any idea what... Being ready. He came to me Sunday night during exhortation and he said, he's preaching it. It's this Holy Ghost here, people. He said, I'm preaching at Bishop Perry's Wednesday. He said, can you handle the service? I said, sure. And as I walked around the back, the Holy Ghost said to me, will you be ready to run when it's time to run? And I thought, I'm a little heavy, but if it's a short burst, I can run. And then when the pastor started preaching, Jermaine, I said, oh my God. Oh my, I'm telling you guys, listen, please listen. That is the word for this church in this season right now. The pastor said, there's a time when there's an intersection between the miraculous. It's the timing of God. And I promise you, 2015, we are walking into that timing right now. And what the Holy Ghost wants to know from us is, will you be ready when it's time to run? There's a lot of preparation, Jeff. There's a lot of things that we've done for years that seems like it's going nowhere. It's like, God, I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm putting all this time, all this energy into being ready. But there comes a time in the timing of God when the doors open in patience. It's time to run. Are you going to be ready? It's about the preparation you do when it seems like there's nothing going on. And all I'm doing right now is rehashing what the pastor already preached Sunday night. How do you run? What do you have to have? One of the primary things you have to run is breath. You've got to have air. Brother Dan knows this. I know because as I drive down Deerfoot Parkway many mornings in my vehicle, eating unhealthy food, drinking sugar water, I pass Brother Dan Malott in his sweatband as he's huffing up and down Deerfoot Parkway. And I think it sure is a lot easier just to get in this car and go wherever you're going, Brother Dan. But he's breathing and he's sucking up my air because you've got to have... What's breathing in the kingdom of God? How do we breathe? What does the pastor always say is breathing? Prayer, prayer, prayer. I heard somebody say, prayer, guys, prayer. And you know what a lot of us want to do is we want to, well, whenever I'm ministering, whenever I'm teaching Bibles, that's when I'm going to dedicate time and energy to prayer, to reading the Word. Whenever I have a circumstance that forces me to spend time doing these things, that's when I'll do them. the Holy Ghost is asking us, who is going to be ready? When the door opens, are you going to be ready to run? Are you going to be weighted down? A couple of weeks before that, this is my phone. Oh, I don't have it up here. I have my old LG Touch slider. It doesn't work half the time. When I push a button to make a phone call, it just turns off. And I had an iPhone 5S. And I was getting ready for church one morning, and you know what God told me? He said, get rid of your 5S. Get rid of your phone if you want to get closer to me. And I was like, but I don't want to. And will an iPhone 5S send you to hell? No. Is there anything wrong? I know good, strong, powerful men of God that have iPhones. But for me, it was more of a distraction. You see, I was using it for entertainment. And what I do is I tell myself, well, it has all these productivity tools. I could be more productive if I have this phone. But I used about 5% of that productivity, and 95% of what I used that phone for. I'm just talking about me. I'm not talking about anyone. I'm not advocating going back to stick phones or flip phones or anything else. You do whatever you want to do. But I'm telling you, for me, 95% of what I used that phone for was entertainment. Was strictly entertainment. And the Holy Ghost was just dealing with me, and he just said, if you want to be closer to me, get rid of your iPhone 5S. And he said, and you'll have more time, you'll be more focused, and you'll be more productive than you were before. And can I tell you, Sister Maria, that it's working? The first 2 days, it was tough. I was like, are you kidding me? It takes me 35 minutes to try to struggle through making a phone call. But you know what I realized? I don't make very many important phone calls. Now I just plan. If I want to call you at 2 o'clock, I start at about 1:30. Trying to make the phone call. I put it on side. I push the button over and over and over and over. But church, listen, that's where we're at. We're not talking about heaven or hell. We're not talking about staying out of hell. We're way past that. We're way past that. This is a mature congregation. We're talking about being effective in the kingdom. We're talking about maximizing your potential. You remember the presentation the young people did? Talking about, and these are principles, these are ideas that the pastor has taught us. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Oh, they don't have it for me. Oh, they do have it for me. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. You see, when you run here on earth, Brother Dan, you're in a race, and how many people win a race? One. So the whole kit and caboodle of these yahoos are out there hauling their behinds up and down the street, and only one of them's getting anything. But when you run in the kingdom of God, what matters is being in the process. What matters is that you're running. And when this all wraps up and the trumpet sounds, Jermaine, or you get hit by a Greyhound bus and you go on, whichever way it goes, the question is going to be, were you running? As long as you're in the process, you win. So everyone in this house wins. We all win when we're talking about the things of God. Verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So Brother Dan, can you be slothful and lazy and win a marathon and even run in a marathon? Can you be 40 pounds overweight? No. And in the spirit, that's what God's dealing with us with. Are you ready to run? Can you run like the wind? Or when the spirit quickens you, are you going to be weighted down by fear, by doubt, by pride, by sin, by insecurity, by failure? Or if the Holy Ghost whispers to you, Stephanie, if he whispers to you in Walmart and tells you, go talk to that lady, Are you ready to go? That's all right. She's talking good. Now, if she cuts you off and hits you with a buggy, I bet you have something to say to her. You're quick and ready. But if he says, tell her about my mercy, about my grace, about my goodness. Are you ready to run? Verse 26. I therefore so run not as uncertainly. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. There's no uncertainty about this, guys. There's no uncertainty about this. We know the conclusion of the matter. We know how this ends. There's two possible endings, but we know how it's going to wrap up either way. And the question is in the house for us, are you ready to run? Let's go to Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Set aside every sin, but he also says set aside every weight. I'm not talking about smoking crack and running around with 14 women and burning down a police station and stealing things. Like I said, we're past that. Those are bad things. Those are sins. And we need to set them aside. He does address that. Set aside every weight. And the sin which doth so easily. But every weight. Jermaine, for me, that phone, it wasn't a sin, but it was a weight. It was a distraction. When I'm sitting at my desk at work and I could have been leafing through the Bible, I was checking Fox News. I just checked it 30 minutes ago. Nothing important had happened. And even if it had happened, there's nothing I could do about it. Because I'm sitting there making phone calls at Brown Mackey College. Way focused on things that are way outside of my circle. That I have no influence over. That I can do nothing about. Instead of strengthening myself. Weights. There's all kinds of weights. And most of what we're struggling with tonight, we're good people in this house. Y'all are good people. I'm not so much. But y'all are good people. And most of you aren't involved in highly gross, incredible sin. But there's weights, there's distractions, there's things weighing you down. There's things weighing you down. And Paul says, let's lay aside every weight and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And let's go to 1 Kings real quick, chapter 18, verse 41. There was a famine in the land. And Elijah was talking to the king. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. The prophet of God stood in the middle of a famine, and he said, there's a sound of an abundance of rain. I feel like Sunday night, our bishop got up into our church, and he said, there is a sound of an abundance of rain. He said, are you ready? Are you ready to handle the miraculous? He said, if it comes, if the blessing you've been praying for comes, can you handle it? If the miracle you've been asking God for shows up on your front door, can you handle it? Skip on down to verse 40. I want to look at the conclusion of that. 44. Elisha talked to his servant, and it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. He saw a cloud the size of a man's hand, and he said, there's coming a flood. There's coming a flood. In the last few months, we've had, I don't know how many get the Holy Ghost, but every service we're having two and three that are getting the Holy Ghost. That's a cloud the size of a man's hand. Because I'm telling you, this year we're going to walk into services where 20 and 30 people are getting the Holy Ghost and they're being baptized in Jesus' name. And when 30 people get the Holy Ghost and get baptized in the service, you know what happens next? You know what they need next? They need discipleship. What did the pastor say? You need a job and a friend in the church. They're going to need friends. They need friends that are strong. They need friends that are grounded. They need friends that know the word. They need friends that can lead them and guide them through this journey, that can change spiritual diapers because they're going to be babies, they're going to be children. Can we handle it? When God pours out 150 soul revival on us in 2 weeks, can we handle it? Are you ready? When you come to service, is your mindset to be blessed or is your mindset to be a blessing? Do you walk in the door looking for someone to minister to, Josh? Or do you walk in saying, I'm weak, I'm thirsty, I'm broken, I'm hungry, I need you to minister to me? Are you ready to run, Ramel? Prayer, Bible study. You need to show up at the house of God, not starving, not emaciated, not in the state where if the pastor doesn't pray for me, then I probably won't be saved this week. I hope Jesus don't come before Sunday. I need to schedule the rapture on Sunday night, right after service. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. But we got to be prepared. You got to walk into the house charged up. You got to bring your fire to the table. And you got to come ready to serve, ready to bless somebody else. Verse 45. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Verse 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elisha, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. You know what he did there? He outran a chariot. This is an old prophet of God. This is not a young man. And when the king, who probably had a pretty nice chariot and probably had pretty nice horses, took off towards Jezreel, he was about halfway there, and he heard, and he saw a little cloud of dust, and he was like, what is that? And here comes the prophet of God, and he's hoofing it. And he outruns the chariot. Because when it's time for the miraculous, when the Holy Ghost is moving and when you're ready to run, with the touch of God on your life, you're going to outdistance everything made by man. Every plan, every scheme, everything created by man, you're going to outdistance that. And there's a lot of people that you think, well, whenever I'm developed more spiritually, when I reach the point where I can pray 700 hours a day, then I'll try to teach a Bible study and I'll try to mentor somebody. No, you need to get your hand to the work. You need to get your mind and your spirit ready because I'm telling you, they're coming. We're going to have an insane season of revival this year, church. We are walking into the promise of God. I can count on one hand the times the pastor has walked up to this pulpit and said, I got in prayer this week a very important word for this church. He doesn't play with that kind of thing. He doesn't play with that kind of thing. And I'm telling you, it's the pulse of the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. It's the pulse. It was the pulse of the Holy Ghost Sunday night. Will you be ready? When the floodgates open, are you going to be ready? What weights do you have? What heaviness do you have? We're going to wrap this service up in just a minute. And I want to do it with prayer and I want to do it with consecration. And what I want to pray tonight, I want us to first pray a prayer of repentance. And then after that prayer of repentance, I want you to ask God, what do I need to lay aside? What are my weights? What are my encumbrances? God, show me what it is in me. You know what the sins are. You know what your sins are. You know the blatant things. That's not what God's dealing with us tonight. God is tweaking us. There's people in this house right now who need to accept the mercy and grace of God. The number one thing holding you back right now is your mistakes and your failures. And you think that you can't be used of God because of where you've been and what you've done. You got to surrender that tonight. You got to lay that on an altar. And you got to say, I'm going to let that go. Let me tell you how grace and mercy works. Mercy means you don't get what you deserve. And there's people wallowing in self-pity and in self-doubt because you know you're not, that's okay. You're not getting what you deserve. That's okay. That's called the mercy of God. So whenever I do something wrong and I don't deserve heaven, I deserve punishment. And God says, no, I'm not giving you what you deserve. That's His mercy. The grace of God is what allows you to be what you are not. Let me explain how that works really quick. It allows you to have an identity that's not your identity. So Jermaine, if I walk up to you right now and I lie to you, I say, Jermaine, I am a 120-pound black woman. That's a lie, right?
Maybe.
No, it's a lie. So I am a liar. He who lies, I am one who lies. So let's say I lie all day long today. When I go to bed tonight, I say, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to be a liar anymore. And I repent. He gives me His grace so that tomorrow morning, when I wake up, I can put on the coat of a non-liar. I put on the identity of someone who doesn't lie. Because you are what you do, correct? So technically, I still am actually a liar because I've been lying. But God allows me to put on an identity that's not mine. That's what His grace does. It builds the bridge work between what God sees me as and who God sees me as and who I actually am right now. Does that make sense? So God literally allows you to be a man of God, even if yesterday you weren't. You put on His identity, what He sees you as, and so then grace builds the bridge work. Here's where I am. This is who I want to be. Grace allows me to act like who I want to be, not who I am. And you're not faking it. You're not being hypocritical. You're not just putting it on. It actually becomes who you are. That's the mercy and the grace of God. And in order for some of the people in this building to step up into your ministry, you've got to accept the mercy and the grace of God. You've got to lay your failure, your insecurity, your doubt down on an altar and embrace the identity that God's given you. Embrace the identity that God has shown you, that you know God has for you, who and what He wants you to be. He wants you to minister in might and in power and in strength. Walk in the gifts of the Spirit. He's got callings on people's lives in this house. And you're looking at yourself saying, but I'm this, but I'm that. I can't be what God has said I am because of these things. Tonight, you need to repent of doubting the Word of God. You need to wash your soul with repentance. And you need to put on the identity. You need to, tomorrow morning, you get up and you do what the self-help people do. You stand in the mirror. I did this. I went through a season of my life where I was struggling and I was beat down. And I got up in the morning and I looked at myself in the mirror and said, I am a holy, righteous man of God. And then I allowed that piece of identity to dictate my behaviors throughout the day. And whenever something would come up, I would say, would a holy, righteous man of God do this? And then my flesh, my mind, my heart would tell me, but you're not, you're a scumbag. You're not a holy, righteous. And I would say, no, I laid that down in repentance. I'm putting on the new identity. I'm using the grace of God. And so today I actually am a holy, righteous man of God. And so then I behave in that manner. That's how you prepare to run. That's how you transform yourself from who you are to what God has called you to be. And what I want to do tonight, just for a few minutes, I just want to have another prayer service. And I want you to repent. I want you to ask God, what is it in your life that's weighing you down? Now, don't ask Him that if you don't want to know. And that's legitimate. The doors of revival are going to open in this church, and not everyone is going to run. There are people who are not going to participate. There are people that are going to get off the couch, and they're just going to limp, and they're barely going to make it themselves. But there are some people that are going to take off like rockets. They're going to fly with the wings of an eagle. So in this house tonight, you decide who you are. What do you want to do? If you want to be ready, ask God, what are the weights? Lord, show me. I didn't know. I mean, I knew I was spending too much time on my phone. I knew it was a drain on me. It wasn't an asset. It was a deficiency. But I didn't know it was holding me back from being closer to God. And when he showed me, I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm willing to do that. I'll do that. But what I want to do in this house, I want us to repent. I want you to ask God, what are my weights? What do I need to take off? What do I need to set aside? I want you to also ask God, who do you want me to be? Show me that vision. And then tonight you got to believe and you have to accept the mercy of God and the grace of God. Make a decision tonight. Tomorrow morning I am going to begin to behave as what God sees me as. I'm going to leave my unbelief, my fear, my doubt, my pride, my failures. I'm going to leave them in a prayer session this evening. And tomorrow morning is a new day. And tomorrow morning I'm going to step out of my house as the individual that God sees me as. I'm going to step out of my house and I'm going to fulfill the calling. Well, almost, I didn't even intend to talk this long. We're doing okay. Let's have a season of prayer. Let's go before the Lord. Let's have a season of consecration. And let's see what God's going to do with us. You can pray where you are. If you want to use this altar, feel free to use the altar.
Gave us a promise that we would find you. If we search for you with our whole heart. So we give you our whole heart tonight.
I will lift my hands to you in worship.
gracious and relentless.
How gracious, relentless is the Father's love toward us, breathtaking the beauty and the radiance of you.
Thank you. presence of the Lord. I've been free, delivered. And in your presence, Lord,
press in as long as you like. There are people at the door. If you have an offering to give, just stay as long as you like and fellowship with God.
They've been forgiven.
My past
is over.
It's over.
Say right.